Today I wish to contrast the many priests that there were in the Old Testament time to the fact that in the New Testament there is only one sacrificial priest, Christ Jesus the Lord, and that the scripture is emphatic that he has an unchangeable, that is an untransferable priesthood, that there is no sacrificial priesthood in the New Testament, and that we only have Christ Jesus as the one high priest that we look to as the author and finisher of our faith. Now, it is difficult to deal with this because I purportedly was a priest for 22 years. And how could I be a priest if there's no priesthood in the New Testament? This is what we've got to deal with. So it's a difficult topic. And I want to say that I am sharing this contrast with empathy and feeling, because I know the sincerity of young men going into the priesthood. I remember when I was 18 and a half going in to start my training, 8 years of training for the priesthood, how sincere these young men were and how they wanted to dedicate their lives to God, Christ, and the church so that they could serve people in the priesthood and help people, and how enthusiastic they were. I remember the 21 young men that I entered with for the first year of novitiate and then for the studies. I remember the sincerity of those men, and they were utterly sincere and devout in what they wanted to do. And I know that that's often the case. So it's with empathy that I wish to deal with this difficult subject, the mystique or the glory that is purported to be in the Catholic priesthood, and what has been shown today to be the face of the Catholic priesthood. It is a difficult topic, but I think we have to deal with it. The contrast is remarkable because in the Old Testament, we know that there were many priests, and really emphatically, the New Testament tells us that this is not the way, and they give the contrast. For example, the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 and 24 gives you this contrast. And there were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. So this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. The men of the Old Testament needed people to take their place because they died. And for the priesthood to continue, somebody else had to come and to take their position to offer sacrifices. But this man has an unchangeable priesthood. It's unchangeable. A parabatos is the exact word in the Greek, means untransferable, not given to anybody else. So it cannot be handed on to anybody else because it's uniquely his and his alone. So this is expressed, and the clarity that he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. This one sacrificial priest can save to the uttermost. So the text goes on, and it tells us that he needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the people's. For he did once. He did this once when he offered up himself. He didn't need to offer up sacrifices for himself like they did in the Old Testament, because he was absolutely perfect. And he didn't continually offer up sacrifice, he offered it once. So this is an emphatic contrast that the scripture makes, that the priesthood of Christ saves to the uttermost, and that it is not transferable, and that there is not daily sacrifice, there was one sacrifice, once offered. So a remarkably clear contrast given on the pages of Scripture. So the thing is dramatized, as it were, in the crucifixion of Christ Jesus, for because when he dies, we're told, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The veil that separated the holy place from the most holy, where the high priest in Judaism went once a year, that was torn in two from top to bottom, showing, as it were, in symbolic way, what actual fact happened. It was the end of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, because Christ Jesus had said, it is finished. His sacrifice was finished. So the scripture says his qualifications in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 6. We have such a high priest who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. Who qualifies? The qualifications are remarkable. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heaven. There's only one that qualifies, and that is Christ Jesus, the one high priest, who said on the cross, tetelestai, the actual words in Greek, it is finished. The sacrifice was legally, utterly complete and final. It is finished. Because all sacrifices had reached their perfect fulfillment in the one Lamb of God who gave his life for his own. So this is the fact of where we are. Now, it's difficult, but we've got to deal with it. Where is the glory of the Catholic priesthood? We're going to see later on how the Catholic Church in its official teaching speaks about the glory of the priesthood. But it is not glorious in the face of what's been happening. Just coming here, I was on the plane from Syracuse to Rome, upstate New York, and I was talking to a Catholic, and he brought up the scandals in Boston and other parts of the Catholic world, and how he didn't want to go back to the Catholic Church because he said, how can I, you know, look to a priest to give me absolution and to do the sacraments for me if so many of them are immoral and pedophiles? So this was a Catholic talking to me on the airplane, and it is quite difficult because these things have been made public. They go right through Catholic history, and you'll find at different times and centuries reference to them. But in modern times, it has become, as it were, front page headlines, and there have been really disclosures right across the world. And it was particularly the Boston Globe newspaper that here in the United States that really began to expose the wickedness of how life is lived in the Catholic priesthood. Even the Attorney General of Massachusetts made an official declaration, and it can be found on the internet, where the Attorney General, from a legal point of view, made a declaration regarding the Catholic priesthood. This is the civil authority speaking about the dangers of the Catholic priesthood. I'd like to quote from the Attorney General of Massachusetts, where on July the 23rd, 2003, he made the following statement. This came from his office. The Attorney General's investigation revealed that the magnitude of the Archdiocese's history of clergy abuse of children is staggering. Records produced by the Archdiocese revealed complaints regarding at least 789 victims. When information from other sources is considered, the number of alleged victims who have disclosed their abuse likely exceeds 1,000. The magnitude of the Archdiocese's history of clergy abuse is equally shocking if evaluated in terms of the number of priests and other archdiocesan workers alleged to have sexually abused children since 1940. The investigation revealed allegations of sexual abuse of children made by at least 237 priests and 13 archdiocesan workers. Of these 250 priests and other diocesan workers, 202 allegedly abused children between 1940 and 1984, and the other 48 allegedly abusing children during Cardinal Law's tenure as Archbishop. I stumbled a little bit there because it's difficult in reading some of these facts. And given from a civil authority of the Attorney General in Massachusetts,